The Sunday Morning Linux Review with Mary Tomich, Tony Bemis, and Matt Bender.
Bite my 8-bit metal ass.
That's bite with a Y.
All right, and this is episode 128.
That's right. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
For lack of a better...
To all of you fathers out there.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it's, is that just a U.S. Holiday, or is
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I don't know.
Something
for a
Day
research project, yeah.
Yeah.
And or Valentine's. is it an invention of the card companies.
Yeah, it probably is.
So, but anyway, so yeah, Father's Day weekend, and it's been a couple weeks since we've been together.
It has.
So I'm sure we've got a few stories. And
we might have a couple. I have a couple. I have one.
Matt, I've got a feeling that you're so anxious that you're going
first. Oh, my
God,
I'll go first. It's not technology related.
No tales from the data center?
No, it's not technology related. It's about Detroit's wonderful public transit system known as DDOT, which stands for Detroit Department of Transportation. Because my car's been broken for a couple of weeks now, and I've had to use the bus, because I happen to live right on one bus line, and I work right on another bus line, and I can transfer from the one to the other bus line pretty easily. Or so it appears on paper. So I catch the smart bus, which is always on time, always drops me off right when it's supposed to, because smart, obviously, knows how to run a bus system.
And their name kind of reflects
smart.
It, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Smart?
Suburban Metropolitan Area Transit System.
Oh.
That's what SMART stands for.
I didn't know that. I mean, really, I didn't know that.
Okay.
I never thought about it. Okay, on with your story.
So, the 330 drops me off right where it's supposed to, which is about a half a block from where the 17, the DDOT bus, is supposed to pick me up. Now, the DDOT bus has a 710, a 750, an 835, and a 935, all of which will get me to work on time. The 935, barely, but on time. I get to this bus stop between 1 minute before 7 and 3 minutes after 7 every day.
Sounds
which
like
is,
timely.
Which is well before 710.
Mm-hmm.
Has there ever been a 710 bus?
Mm-hmm.
No. No, there hasn't. There has never been a 710 bus.
Mm-hmm.
About a third of the time, there's actually a 750 bus.
Oh, no.
And about three quarters of the time, there's an 835 bus.
So you're standing out there, right?
Yes. Sometimes upwards of 2.5 hours.
Oh.
Waiting for a bus that's supposed to come every 35 minutes.
No way.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to cruise by there at about, 8:30, 8:15, and if you're still standing there, I'm going to take you.
Oh, my God.
What corner
it's a
is
nightmare.
That? What corner is that?
It's at 7 Mile and Winston.
Okay.
It's just east of Grand River. 7 Mile and Grand River.
Okay. Mm. Well, we're very sorry. That's bad.
It's the DDOT bus system. I'm sorry, Detroit. I love you, but your buses suck.
I think it's going to. I think it's going to get better.
It can't get any worse.
All right. Well, that's a sad and tragic story.
Oh.
But I hope to hear. You know, when they do follow-ons to such stories, Matt. You know, like a few months from now, I hope to hear that there's one that's coming at least half the time. Because that would be good if it did. So, wow. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for sharing that story.
And as I'm standing there waiting, you know what runs through my head?
You could have walked there faster?
No. Because, no, I'm a fat old man. I could not have walked there faster.
You should have called Mary?
No. The Guess Who song. Are you familiar with the band Guess Who?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Guess Who song, Bus Rider. Crazy little man riding upside down, bus rider.
I've never heard of that song.
Yeah, I know.
I've heard of Guess Who.
Oh,
weren't they from Canada?
Yes, they're Canadian. How about These Eyes? You've heard These Eyes, right?
Oh, yes.
These Eyes.
Yeah, yes.
All crying.
Okay.
These eyes have seen a lot of love, but they're never going to see another woman like I had
stop
with
him,
you.
Tony. Stop him. Yeah.
You're going to get us banned from YouTube.
Yes, we just lost 4 listeners. All right. But anyway, I think suffice it to say that it's a bad situation and you got to get it. You know, it has to get fixed. So, all right. So, Tony.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, we found a house. We put an offer on. On the last week, we put the offer. They countered and we accepted. And as long as everything goes well, looks like we're going to be moving.
Excellent.
Closing date will be somewhere around the end of next month.
End of July, okay.
End of July.
So we'll be recording.
So
gonna get
sometime
the first
in
thing
August.
You're going to do is get the recording studio in place, right?
Well, I mean, I can set the recording studio up first, but we have to have an internet connection before we do that.
Oh, yeah. That'll be easy. I'm sure the house already is already wired.
It is, but I have to call Comcast and I have to pay for a bill. And I mean, well, I don't have that problem here.
Yep, we understand.
So, anyway, yeah, so sometime in August, probably late August, is we'll start recording in the new Bema Studios.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't know, but... stuff's going on. I don't know. Work. It's busy.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I told you guys I applied for a job, and they still haven't told me anything about whether I'm actually getting it or somebody else is. Or so it's just.
But the job has not been filled yet, right?
Correct.
Okay. Maybe they're just trying to figure out how much more to pay you. You know,
like, I think that.
Should we pay him 5% or should we pay him 10%?
That's right.
More. Not 5%.
Not less.
5% of what you make now.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
So, okay.
I have the song.
No.
No.
If you can link it. If you want to put the link in the show notes.
Put a link in the show notes.
If you would like to hear Guess Who's Bus Rider.
No.
No, it's already meant. Put it in the show notes. Share it on.
I'll put it on the IRC.
Google Plus.
Yeah, do that. That's a good idea. And, well, I'll tell you what I did. I'll tell you what I did in the last couple of weeks. I did a lot of things. You remember me complaining about how hot my laptop runs. You know, I've been running PCBSD now since I think last October. And one of my complaints, I mean, I had very few complaints, but one was that this was running pretty hot.
Yeah.
Well, I decided to I decided to temporarily demote it, as I think I had alluded to in the last episode, to a virtual machine. And, put Kubuntu back on here. So I did. I downloaded the Kubuntu 64-bit ISO. I installed it and I started putting all my stuff together, you know, just kind of recreating my laptop. And then suddenly it just kind of crashed. It just froze. And I'm thinking, what the heck's going on? And then, I rebooted. Well, I basically pressed the button and had to do an emergency shutdown because I could not get into a console. It was frozen. And it froze again. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to downgrade to the Kubuntu 32-bit version because that's what I used to run on this and I had no problems. So I reinstalled Kubuntu 32-bit and put all my stuff back on again. Dropbox, 100 gigs of stuff, and I'm rolling along and it crashes again. Not crash, but it froze just like it did. Again, I can't get a console up. I've got to do a hard reset. So, I thought, you know what? And it was running really hot. So I thought to myself, you know, that's what I had when I had PCBSD. I'm going back. So last night I reinstalled PCBSD back on here and it's running cooler.
Hey.
So, and this is, I think 10.0.1. I think 10.0.2 is coming out, I believe next week. So I'll probably upgrade to that, but it's fine so far.
Where does it seem to be hot?
It's
right there,
like right in this area here. It's just right over here. I think it's the graphics chip. Although when I had Kubuntu installed, I was running the Nuvo, you know, the open source, NVIDIA driver. I didn't want to go with the proprietary, but with PCBSD, it's just automatically included and all configured for you. So it works just fine. So anyway, so that's one thing I did. Yeah. And then, Tony, you know, before we started the show, we were talking about this Dell XPS desktop that I've got that has 3 gigs of RAM in it, 300 gig hard drive.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that I had been given to me by a friend of mine. She just wanted it out of her house, and I said, oh, I'll come over and pick it up. So I downloaded pfSense, and I installed pfSense on it.
Wow.
Yeah, well, don't get too excited because they have an install option where do you want to install customizing it or do you want to install with no questions asked? I picked the no questions asked. So I, what I had to do though is I had to put a LAN cable in there. So I did, you know, from my router. I just plugged the cable in there because it does have a wireless, it has a wireless, card or, you know, NIC in there and everything. And I did plug in the network cable and configured, you know, told it where it was and all that kind of stuff. And I was able to go in and configure pfSense in a very basic way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Did you have one network cable on there?
I had one cable and then the wireless.
Oh,
so I had
right.
two. So.
So that'll be your super secure wireless access point?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm going to, it was only done as an exercise just to see if I could do it.
Yeah.
And I was able to do it, but I'd have to do some reading in order to properly configure all the firewall rules and that type of thing. And I just didn't have time to do that. But I just wanted to kind of go through the exercise. It's actually very straightforward to do.
Hmm.
It's not too difficult. I figure if I can do it, anybody can do it. But, That's the desktop I'm thinking of lending to us for the, you know.
For the
yeah.
video?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Mm-hmm. So.
It'll be faster than what we're running right now. Probably quieter. Too.
Yeah, I think so. So anyway, those are a couple things that I did over the last couple weeks.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Mm. Well, I guess it's,
Matt, what's happening with the kernel?
What's going on in the kernel, Matt?
All right. When was our last show?
2 weeks ago. A fortnight ago.
Was the 11th. Was it before or after the 11th?
Yeah, so the 11th was like 3 days ago.
The 11th?
Okay.
It was, I think, the last
it was like
day
the
30th, of May.
30 or 31st.
It's 31st of May. Saturday morning, May 31st, 2014.
Okay, excellent. Mainline 3.15 released 6.8. Stable 3.14.17 released 6.11. Long term 3.12.22 released 6.11. Long term 3.10.43 released 6.11. Long term 3.4.93 released 6.11. Long term 3.2.60 release 6.9. That's the kernels.
Wonderful. So 3.15 is the
main
newest.
Line. That's the
the bleeding edge.
The brand new kernel that was just born.
Okay. Whee. All right. Somebody spanked that baby. Well.
All right. Well, I think it's time for...
Tony, what's going on with the Linux distributions this week?
The distros.
Want me to sing again?
No. Well, that's okay, Matt. I mean, we know that you have this... We know you just got off work, and you're probably kind of giddy and punchy.
I'm kind of tired.
Okay.
All right,
because I got to get up so early to catch those freaking buses.
Yeah, I know. It's a bad thing. All right, Tony, so let's take us through this list.
All right, first up,
we got
Linux Mint was released. Mint 17 was released on... the 31st. It was shortly after our show.
It was released.
That's right.
Probably when I was driving home. Or no, when I was driving out with Matt. Remember, Matt, we drove together?
No.
2 weeks ago?
Mm-mm.
All right. Anyway, so Linux Mint was released, and what else is going on with that Linux Mint?
And
I have a few.
I upgraded both my computers. I did a...
did you?
Yeah, I did from... on my laptop, I went from 16 to 17. Mm-hmm. I did an in-place upgrade.
How was it?
And it was flawless.
Mm. Isn't that sweet when that happens?
It was awesome. Especially when they say don't do it, because it'll cause problems. It went
you
fine.
You take that as
great.
A challenge.
That's right.
Really? I'm going to do it and there won't be any problems.
I did. I found a sed hack that you just copy and paste it in, and it goes through and replaces all the names in your...
your repositories?
In the repositories, okay. Yeah. And,
wow.
And then I did an apt-get update, apt-get upgrade, and did that like three times. Now, I would say...
Why do you have to do it three times?
I don't know. I just... Or I did... One was upgrade, and then the second time was a dist upgrade.
Oh, okay.
And then and then I rebooted and then ran it again just to make sure I had everything installed.
That reminds me of my little laptop. You know that little notebook I have that has, had Ubuntu on it, and I put Kubuntu on it, but I had to do apt-get upgrade like three times in order to get it all to work. So it just
I think it's because certain programs rely on certain,
the dependency thing.
Dependencies and stuff. And when you install one, and then it thinks, okay, now we can install these libraries after that or something.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But anyway, I did that both on my desktop and my laptop, and it was good.
Excellent. You know, with this release of Linux Mint, maybe you saw this, the driver manager now is able to install drivers without being connected to the internet. So apparently, they don't have to go and download drivers.
I did hear that. That's pretty cool. Because what you do is you have to use the CD.
Yep.
Especially for wireless, like the Broadcom chip to install the wireless. You don't have to be connected to the internet to be able to, you stick the CD in, it'll read it off the CD and install it.
Yeah.
And what does it do when it installs the program? Oh, that's never mind. It's Ubuntu.
Anyway,
they also, I don't know if you had a chance to see this too, the welcome screen with Mint was redesigned. And they've moved away from WebKit, and now apparently it loads much faster, uses less resources, tastes great, less filling, the whole thing.
I did not see that because I did an upgrade instead of a new install.
Okay. And by the way too, are you familiar with MDM?
Yes.
That's
the Mint display.
It's a recovery. It comes with a recovery command. If you find yourself unable to log in, you can press Control Alt F1 and get the terminal, and then just type in MDM-recovery. This will give MDM a safe configuration, switches it to the GTK greeter, enables the logs, and then restarts your computer for you.
Wow, that's cool.
So
I could have used that in my previous upgrade. Really, that's what it broke last time. Not this time, but the previous one.
Yeah, so go look into it and keep that in mind if you...
Yeah, MDM. You ever
yeah, it's...
MDM Recovery.
MDM-Recovery.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. So, gotta love that minty goodness. Come on, Matt.
There you go. Minty goodness, yay.
And there's a new version of a Cinnamon. I really don't see much of a difference, but...
Okay.
Oh, you know the big thing they changed? The default IRC client was XChat for the whole time.
Sure.
Now they moved away from XChat to HexChat.
HexChat.
Yeah, HexChat.
Hmm, I wonder why.
That's a good question. Hmm. Everybody says that there's issues with XChat and that this is a better version. And so on my laptop, it wouldn't let me reinstall XChat. I had to install HexChat. And all the configurations, I had to reconfigure it and everything.
Yeah.
Where on my desktop, when I did the upgrade, it let me keep it. So I don't know what the difference is.
Hmm.
But.
Weird.
Yeah. Anyway.
Right.
I think we can continue on.
Yeah. Yeah, we did half the show on that one.
Right. Well, it's because that's the best distro.
That's true. Okay. Well, wait a minute. No.
Fedora had a release?
Yeah. No, they did not.
Right.
Although their not their mentor, but their mothership did.
Yes.
We'll talk about that in a little bit.
All right. On the first, we have Salix 14.1 Mate, which is Salix is a Slackware based distro.
Yeah, and
has Mate 1.8.
Yes, and the you know, that's the distro that has the three options. You can go with a full, basic, and then actually full includes everything on the installation medium that you download, you know, on the ISO. And then basic just includes the Mate desktop environment, a small collection of system tools for Salix, and then Firefox. So that particular mode of installation is really good for anyone who wants to build a desktop environment and then customize what applications they put on. So they give you the basics, and then you can kind of pick and choose what you want. And then, of course, as the name implies, Core Mode is basically the command line system without any graphical environment at all. So, yeah.
That would make sense. Linux Lite 2.0.
Yeah.
Which is a lightweight version of Ubuntu with XFCE. They must have done a lot of work to make that light.
Some magic, even, I would think. But they, this, I think at least in this release, and maybe a little sooner, their default menu is the whisker menu. I don't know if you've ever seen that. That's part of the XFCE set.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. They've got the left side categories and switch categories by hovering is enabled, which is kind of nice for them. One other thing too, you know, with the, Ubuntu One going out of business, I guess I'll say it that way. What they've done in this particular release of Linux Lite is they've replaced a link to Ubuntu One with BitTorrent Sync, which is an excellent way. If you've got to move a really large file, it's a nice way to bypass the quote unquote cloud and get it right to another's desktop.
All right.
So this particular release has that. And then another thing they did too with this release of Linux Lite is they've made it easier to control sound from the system tray. And hot swapping of USB sound devices is now available. And that sound system will automatically switch. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next up we have Tango Studio 2.2. Which they're a Debian-based distro with extensive collection of free and open source software for sound, video, graphics, and editing and creation. And that's actually what I use for editing the show.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's a VM of Tango Studio that our friend that makes our intros.
John?
John mm-hmm. and Steve McLaughlin, Door-to-Door Geek.
Mm-hmm.
They worked together to get that set up. So the Podnuts group uses that VM, and mm-hmm. they gave it to me, too, to use.
Oh, great.
So, yeah.
Great.
Works really good.
I think the kernel, it's still on the 3.2 kernel, which is pretty solid. It's, you know, not that old, I guess, but they, you know, obviously it uses a low latency type kernel, real time, I guess.
Yeah.
What they've added in this particular release is the support to kill a session with control alt backspace. So that's already enabled, I think.
Yeah, that used to be the
kind of the
norm.
The norm, yeah. And
before,
then,
but they took that away with the new versions of mm-hmm. X.
Mm-hmm. So they've added it back in.
Cool.
So, yeah, and they also mentioned a little warning that the ISOs contain non-free packages. So they said that they may be restricted by copyright or by legal issues in some countries. So they give you a little caveat, which I, of course, would just go right by and install whatever it is I needed. But that's
pragmatism.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
pragmatic open source zealot. That's me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, I've got Chromium on this laptop.
I've got Chrome.
Do you? Well,
because you know why?
Why?
Chromium sucks.
It really does.
If you've used Chrome, Chromium really sucks.
I have not had a problem with it.
I haven't used Chromium, so I couldn't tell either way.
But you use Chrome, right?
I do. I use Chrome.
Huh. I've had no problems at all.
Chrome's got Pepper built right into it. Chromium does not.
Is that what it is?
You think so?
That's one of the major differences, yeah.
Hmm. I'll have to check into that before
there,
I just believe you.
No. It's true because Chromium doesn't have it because of the proprietary.
And what is Pepper again?
It's the only way that Flash is supported on Linux now is through the Pepper.
Oh, okay.
Front end.
So you're telling me that if I go to CNN.com, which is one of the
not necessarily a lot
that
of
I am not going to. I am not going to be able to play this. Click to play.
If it's Flash, no.
A lot of videos have moved over to
HTML5, which will play.
Well, yeah, which will play in Chromium.
Right.
So you would
this
have
is
to
Flash.
Find something.
How do you know it's Flash?
It's Flash because when I go there on my other machine,
does that machine
it's
have
got the
Flash?
Little F in it that
does
you have
that
to click.
Does that machine have Flash?
I think it does, but it's not activated by default, so I have to click the F in in the middle of the video.
They might do it both. They might do it both in Flash and HTML5. That's what YouTube is doing.
Oh, and so the It'll user detect. Agent will detect, yeah. And then it gives you
yes.
what. Oh, you know, I never really thought about that, Matt. Okay, maybe that's what's going on. But here, look at Chromium. Look at that beautiful bingo. That video's playing. Obviously, I have it muted. Because if you can't play your song, I can't play this. I can't play this audio. But anyway, point is that this is Chromium.
Point is? This is Chrome. Look, works, beautiful.
Yeah, so isn't life grand? Okay, what's our next distro?
Next up is Sparky Linux.
Oh, Sparky.
3.4 with the LXDE, E Enlightenment 18, and Razer QT.
And all that stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. They, you know, with this this particular release, they have a tool called Aptus. Or AptUS, but it's probably Aptus. It's their tool for updating, installing, and removing packages. This particular release has updated that, and including a separate tab for every option, which makes which basically increases the ease of navigation when you're using that tool. So, and that tool, by the way, contains Sparky Tray, which is a small app that's loaded in the system tray that will give you quick access to, you know, Synaptic, repository list, editor, that type of thing. They've got, it also has Sparky Backup apps, Sparky Backup System. I think you kind of get the picture on this little tool, Aptus, that they've got.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, too, just one last comment about Sparky Linux, this particular release, is they did have a couple of successful tests installations of Sparky in EFI mode in a virtual environment. Now, they go on to say that they're not going to promise that the installation on a physical machine is going to go without a problem because they've not tried it, mainly because they don't have any normal machines with EFI that are built in, so... But they did take it through its paces on a virtual machine, and it seemed to work okay.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
All right. Next up on the 4th, we have Alpine Linux 3.0.0. And Alpine Linux is a security-oriented distro for servers. They have an updated kernel, updated bug fixes. But they're on 3.14.
Yeah. They're like... server on cutting edge, like cutting edge server.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This.
I wouldn't run it for my server.
Yeah, because I think you kind of want reliable and stable.
Yes.
Those are two words that I like to see in the same sentence
yes.
as server.
Yeah.
Server distro. But, well, not only that, this particular release, this is the first release of the brand new libc, and it should be considered as beta quality. So they said most things work good or better than previous releases, but there may be some corner case bugs lurking. So they just suggest that you test it before rolling it out to production. So, and they're actually
because it's going to have the musl libc instead of the uc libc, and they're not ABI compatible. So you can't. It's not a straight upgrade. Like if you were already running Alpine, you can't. You cannot do. An upgrade, an in-place upgrade.
To 3.0.
Yeah, and there's shortening the support period for version 3.0 to 1 year instead of their traditional 2 years. So, and by the way, NFS doesn't work yet.
That's kind of a bad thing.
Yeah.
All right, well, continuing on the 5th, we have a BSD release. Dragonfly BSD 3.8.0.
Yes.
What came first, Dragonfly or Ghost?
I don't know.
I think Dragonfly did.
Okay, Dragonfly's been around since 2003. So
Yeah.
I thought they were the oldest, but then I thought of Ghost. When did Ghost come out?
Yeah, Ghost has been around for a while. But regarding Dragon, this particular release of Dragonfly, this is the last release that they're planning on the i386 2-bit platform. So they said to plan to upgrade to the 64-bit when possible. So, and that any pre-built packages for this release will only exist for 64-bit systems. So 32-bit users will have to build by hand.
Yay!
Ooh, there, that's enough to get you off it. So
make install, make clean, not that hard.
That's well, right. So why don't you run Gentoo?
Because Gentoo's for guys with too much time on their hands.
Yeah, you don't have that. Yeah. And by the way, too, this release of Dragonfly has got Hammer 2. It's there, but it's not ready for use. So it's just it's available if you want to test
what
it,
is
I guess.
It?
It's their file system, the Hammer file system.
Oh.
I don't know a lot about it, but.
Okay.
When it comes to file ZFS. System, I stick with the tried and true. On BSD, it would be ZFS.
Yeah.
On Linux, it's EXT3 or 4.
Oh, speaking of that, and I don't mean to take this off in another direction, but that was another thing I think that caused my Kubuntu install to go bad. I decided to use ButterFS.
Oh, Mary.
Well, because you want that ZFS stuff put on Linux.
Yeah. I thought, you know, I'm going with all my partitions are going to be that way. Oh, and speaking of that.
That's probably why it crashed.
Yeah, so then.
You had gigs of RAM in there?
Here's another reason why it crashed, too, or that I had problems. When I downgraded to the 32-bit version of Kubuntu, I kept my home partition. Well, that had.
All the 64-bit configs in it.
So after that crash, I thought, oh, you know what? I bet that's the reason why. So then I just thought, you know, I'm going to blow this thing away. If I had a gun, I would have shot it, but I didn't. So that's why I went back to PCBSD. But let me tell you this thing. This is kind of interesting. You know, when you are installing a distro, a lot of times they've got the built-in partition editor, and then in case of Ubuntu or Mint, they'll pop up this little graphic display that kind of shows your slices and everything.
I like Fedoras. It's really easy to use.
Oh, you're so funny. Oh, that was the worst. That is the worst in the history of the world. That is the worst partition.
It is not.
Anyway, but let me go back to this. So when I first was going from PCBST with the ZFS system to Kubuntu, when I fired that up, there was like this just one big block that just said ZFS, and there was just, you know, I mean, that's all there was, because inside it's quote unquote partitioned. I've got little data sets that are inside of it, but it was like one thing. You couldn't see any, that's all it was. So I thought that really kind of caught my eye, and I thought, wow, that's hard to figure out what's in there. So, but anyway, I wanted to share that.
All right.
Wow.
All right, moving on from Dragonfly. That's how we got there.
Yeah. On the 6th, we have Robo Linux 7.5.3.
Yeah, this is like the third.
I know, recent.
Well, and it has to do with the fact that XP support ended in April. And what they've done, though, is they created, they had got that revolutionary stealth VM inside their OS. They decided to create specific versions that will work on all Linux operating systems, so now anyone can run Windows XP or 7 inside Linux Mint or Ubuntu virus-free. So, and Robo Linux loves exclamation points. Because I think there's this excitement. I almost can hear, you know, them just getting excited as they talk about this. But anyway, so. So yeah, that was one of the big things that they've got in this release.
Cool. Next up, I have the SMS Superb Mini Server.
Oh yeah.
And that's 2.0.7, and they're like for small and medium businesses. I guess they're superb.
Well, they may not have been as superb as they would have liked to have been, because according to some information that I had gleaned from their site, he said that apparently there was a DistroWatch review that he didn't have time to reply to at the time. But what the result of that review lengthened his to-do list. And so from the comments from that review resulted in this new version. So
Oh wow. That's cool.
And one thing they did is the Mozilla packages were removed as they were incompatible with SMS, and he says, I'll provide SMS builds, but for now, those who use KDE add-on, you can use the official static Firefox packages. So not sure who uses SMS. I don't, but somebody might be interested.
All right. All right, next up is Barbecue Linux.
I thought it was Linux Barbecue.
It is. You're right. Linux Barbecue Cream Edition. They're Debian-based with a choice of 76 window managers.
Yes, remember that? I reviewed that about a year and a half ago.
That, I think about your review. That's
I had a lot of fun. I think it was Oyster.
So do I, and shake my head.
Well, you know, when you think about it, as a way to preview all those window managers. Wow.
You might find one you like better.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
Choice is good.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we have Wi-Fi Slacks 4.9, which is a Slacker-based live CD with extensive collection tools for performing wireless connection analysis and related security tests.
We do?
And let's see, next up we have, that's development, distribution. We have Manjaro Linux.
Manjaro.
0.8.10.
Between Wi-Fi Slacks and, oh, never mind.
Man, it's almost bedtime.
They were development. I didn't see that. I was,
okay, that's
never
all right.
Mind.
That's yeah, why no we're problem. Here, Matt.
and there, that's Arch-based. And it comes with KDE, XFCE, and OpenBox.
Yeah, and I think, didn't they, I thought they, well, maybe they didn't split off Chakra. I can't remember, or forked from it. But this is the distro that has the very humorously named post-installation configuration tool. It's called Turbulence. You know, and that you can, you know, you can select your language. I mean, I believe I reviewed Manjaro last year or a while ago, but yeah, so you can do a number of different things, but they call it Turbulence, which cracked me up just due to the nature of the word.
Yeah.
So all right. And by the way, too, they've the Fluxbox window manager that's available, they've highly tweaked it. So it's not just your father's Fluxbox.
It's not your dad's Fluxbox anymore.
Yeah, that's right. It's highly tweaked. Geeked out. Pimped out just for you. I'm so sorry. I said that.
All right.
What do we got?
Next up on the 10th, we have Red Hat Enterprise Linux 7.
RHEL 7.
Yeah, RHEL 7.
Yes.
System D for the masses, baby.
You know, and it's funny because there's a, InfoWorld had an article, a couple days ago, it was on the 10th. Keep an eye on these five new features of RHEL 7. One of them is Docker. You know, Docker is a part of that.
Because they've included
now.
Docker support.
Oh. Yes.
At the core level.
Yes, they have. System D was another one, Matt, that they said. And then also XFS by default.
XFS is the default file system?
By default. Yep. A third major change, although not likely to raise nearly as many eyebrows, applies to the default file system used by RHEL to XFS.
That's odd.
Well, think about it, though. That's
I am. That's odd.
Think about it a little bit more. No. Isn't that used for larger?
It's the IBM. It's the file system.
Yeah.
I think IBM made it originally.
So it makes sense. I mean,
yeah, for enterprise
ZFS,
level, you need large data sources.
And then when you want to grow up and be a really big file system, you go to ZFS.
I agree.
Just kidding.
I love ZFS. And eventually someday,
We will have it on Linux.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, so it said, originally created by Silicon Graphics, XFS has been in production.
Silicon Graphics.
So on Roll 7, it'll support, file systems up to 500 terabytes in size. Roll 6 used EXT4 as the default.
Yes, it did.
But XFS was an option. And then, the other thing they've got here too is Microsoft.
I think we're gonna probably stick with EXT4 at work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if it's getting the job done for you. And then the other new item is, Microsoft compatible identity management. So, anyway, they said even admins who aren't fans of Microsoft Windows have a grudging respect for Microsoft Active Directory. And what,
they don't.
Even most admins. I had to quantify that. But it says Roll 7, they basically have improved the way that Red Hat Linux deals with AD. So there's a couple of new features they put in there.
Well, because of Samba. I'm sure it's because of Samba 4. Since Samba 4, Active Directory and Linux integration has gone leaps and bounds.
Yeah. So then the last one is Performance Copilot. So those are the five things that they said that you should be excited about that version. So
very cool.
Okay.
All right. Next up on the 12th, we have Gparted Live 0.19.0-1.
That's when I should have talked about that partitioning stuff I did.
Yeah. Gparted will partition your disk for you.
Yes, it will.
And other utilities related to disks. Cool stuff.
I think, that's a live distro, isn't it?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, okay. I've used. Yeah, I have
and
used.
And Gparted, that. You can not install too long that ago. On your own, on any Linux distro.
Yeah, just much. the
Oh, just the utility, the tool?
Tool called Gparted.
Okay.
So Gparted Live is the disk.
Gparted, it's installed almost by default everywhere, I think.
Not everywhere. But you know what Gparted Live would
come
in handy
for? It's not everywhere because it's a
GTK. Right before you install
it's a GTK-based tool. So you wouldn't see it on a KDE.
I don't have it.
you know what?
You looked a little shocked.
I was.
Gparted Live would be really handy. Right before you go to install Fedora, you can partition your drive and then install Fedora.
But that Fedora partitioner is such a great tool.
All right.
All right, we're moving on before I step out.
Yeah, we have KOS.
You mean KOS?
KOS.
Chaos?
Chaos?
Yeah. KOS.
Now, when I was looking this one up and reading about it.
KOS.
That's correct. it was a spin-off. Some of the folks that are on this project came from Chakra, but that is...
Coincidence?
No. I thought
not a positive thing?
I'm sure you're
not a negative thing.
I'm sure you're going to let me finish my sentence. One of these days, but I thought of you because it is so cutting edge. I mean, it's just very, but the only problem, Windows 7. but anyway, the only problem is that it's Arch-based and you don't use Arch.
I actually was talking to a guy and I'm thinking about I'm not gonna.
Oh my gosh. Hey, but you know what they've done here? This particular release of, I like to say Chaos, KOS, that's right. You know, they moved away from GStreamer 0.10.
To GStreamer 1.01?
To GStreamer 1. So they've gone up to the big one. And
you just said they went away from the big one.
No, that's 0.10, I said.
Oh.
So anyway, so they went up to there. But let me just say...
What's a hell of a jump if they went from 0.1 to 1?
Exactly. And so the only application...
They missed 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. All gone.
I see what you're doing there, Matt. I see what you're doing there. Oh.
What is GStreamer?
It's the, it's a utility that, helps, stream your G.
But isn't that a GNOME utility?
It is, exactly.
It's on a KDE-centric
distro. And that's why, but apparently it works well.
So now you got a half a GDK pulled in there.
Yeah.
With your...
Well, but the thing of it is the only thing that still used it or needed it was Clementine. And so what they've done is they've tossed Clementine and they've put Amarok in there, which makes sense because, that's KDE.
Yeah.
Not part of the software compilation, but it's a KDE
app. It's a Qt app.
Qt app. There you go.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, they now have what's called the Chaos Community Packages, KOS Community Packages. So people, this kind of reminds me of the port system in BSD where members of the community can submit working package builds and files into one central location, and so that everybody else who uses KOS or Chaos can benefit from building those building those packages.
Yeah, that's also similar to the Ubuntu PPAs.
Yeah. So anyway,
package archives.
Mm-hmm. So that's what they got. That's what they got going in that.
All right, and the last one that was released this morning.
Yeah, I know.
Was LXLE 14.04, which is Lubuntu based, with the new version of Lubuntu as its base. I suppose.
Are you sure?
and you know, it originally meant Lubuntu Extra Life Extension. That's what LXLE.
Yeah, they changed that. Did you see that?
Yeah, now it's Lubuntu Extra Luxury Edition.
Just trying to put lipstick on a pig. No, just kidding. I'm kidding. It's probably a great distro. Let me just say that.
No, it's lipstick on a pig.
Let me just say that. they had done something here that I thought I had seen. BitTorrent. Yeah, they're using BitTorrent Sync. Is that right? LXLE, yeah.
All right.
So they've replaced that Ubuntu one.
You know why they're replacing it?
Ubuntu one went out of business.
That's right. It's gone. Was it this month sometime, or was it?
Yeah, June or July. I think July was going to be. Yeah, it's over.
So, yeah.
Now I got to take my KDE service menu and get rid of that entry. So I'm going to have to do some surgery, some electronic surgery.
On BSD, they have the Ubuntu one menu.
No, this is my Ubuntu workstation at home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my desktop at home. It's that is so tricked out with all sorts of stuff. Because that's where I do most of my prepping and everything and testing. But the service menu on here is very meager. So right. I'll have to fix that.
All right, cool.
All right. Well, I guess that's the list of distros. So what do we got going for the last 7 days?
The distro of the week, according to DistroWatch, calculated by website hits per day.
Yeah, the last 7 days. On number 5, we have Bodhi with 1277.
And trending up.
And number 4 is Ubuntu with 1443.
And trending down.
Number 3 is the Linux Barbecue with 1451.
And trending up.
And the number 2 spot is Debian with 1473.
And trending down.
And in the number 1 spot is Mint.
Gotta love that minty goodness.
With 2716.
And trending down.
Say, did I tell you guys that...
No, you didn't tell us at all.
I know I didn't. Oh, you're merciless, I tell you. And who's going to be giving you a ride after the show?
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to tell you that there's going to be a Is It Alive this week.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, on the fly, Is It Alive?
All right.
Okay, so anyway, so we'll get to that. We'll cross that bridge. We'll cross that burning bridge, flaming bridge.
When going we get up to in it. Flames ourselves.
Little singe, yeah.
All right.
What do we got next?
Next is news.
It's time for the tech news of the week.
So, Matt, did you bring any news today?
I have one story.
All right.
China's anti-Windows 8 tirade.
Oh, really?
Oh, and then I have a mini one after China's done.
China went on this huge tirade. Like the official government against Windows 8, telling all their people how they should not be running Windows 8. Windows 8 is double Satan spawn, and you need to not run it.
Wow. Did they, was it for the standard reasons?
Just because it's closed source and it's not a Chinese company.
Oh, okay. All right. I guess that makes sense for them.
Because they can't, you can't tell what's in it. You can't tell how it's spying on you, is what they say.
Yeah. And if it's not us spying on you, good
people. Pretty much.
So, and that, well, speaking, you know, speaking of Windows 8, last Saturday, I got a call, or actually an email, from a neighbor and friend who had gotten a new laptop that had Windows 8 and was just, oh, she was, it was not.
It's horrible.
Yes, and she had taken it back because she couldn't find certain things and everything, and then she had gotten it at Costco. Well, she was still having problems with it, so this had to do with the proxy server, and I can't remember if I had said something in Google Plus about that, but anyway, she couldn't get out to the internet, and it's because a proxy server setup was in place. But in Windows 8, they've got some extra, it's almost like it defaults to it. So I went into,
Are you sure she didn't click on something and install a proxy server?
No, because you have to go in so far to get this thing. I went into,
there's malware that does that. And then whenever you remove the malware, but it doesn't
remove the
proxy.
This is a brand new computer with new,
I wonder if somebody else had it before her. Maybe was it really brand new?
Maybe it was a return. Cause there are malwares out there that will install a proxy server that
redirects you to theirs.
That way they can man in the middle you.
Yeah, but I went into Internet Explorer, you know, under Internet Options at LAN settings and removed the proxy server. But so I think that helped her. But oh my gosh, just sitting in front of that machine, you know, and of course the screen is touch screen, which isn't horrible, but
no, it's horrible.
It's just,
you know, what's even worse than that?
What? What can be worse than that? The fingerprints are left behind.
No.
Okay.
Windows Server 2012 utilizes the Metro interface. On a freaking server.
Oh my god.
On a server.
Wow. 2000. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Wow. That's crazy.
It is crazy. I'm surprised they're still in existence.
Oh, you know what I heard today is Windows admins, they do click and guess. It's like, is this where it is? Nope. Is this where it is? Nope.
Well, and speaking of Windows, and this kind of segues into, how many news items did you have? Just one?
That's it.
Okay, because that's a great segue into mine, because did you guys see this week? I think, who posted it? Was it John? John Miller? Tom DeShane? Somebody posted a little note about Hewlett-Packard. Did you see that they...
Oh, yeah, they're going to make their own OS.
They're going to make their own operating system.
Again.
Well,
isn't
they're calling
like
it the
fourth one they've
made? Well, because they had HP UX.
Yeah, but...
But that's Unix. But that's a big... That was a big
server.
They
still have HP UX.
Yes, they do.
Do they? I thought they...
Yes.
No, they still have it off. But don't they have... they had a tablet OS... And they owned Palm at one point.
Well, Palm and what's that other one? WebOS. Yeah.
Yeah, so you kind of wonder, at some point they're going to probably get it right.
I think they're going to try to do an IBM thing. Oh, they were going to. They were spinning off all their hardware and then decided not to.
Well, here's the funny thing. Hewlett-Packard had their annual company, annual customer conference this past week. So moments after they announced their grand new plan to compete with, Microsoft Windows operating system, Meg Whitman, who runs HP now, was thanking Microsoft for being a major sponsor of the conference and then she invited the company's new CEO, Satya Nadella, on stage. So right after, that's within 2 days of, saying, you know, we're going to destroy you, indirectly saying that.
Yeah, we're going to make our own OS.
Yeah.
But that's what she said. I was just quoting her. Yeah.
But then, of course, now there was additional reaction in the tech world to this new announcement by Hewlett-Packard. Dell, one of Dell's executives.
Oh, yeah, Dell's. No, I thought it was the head guy at Dell that did it.
Michael Dell? No, it's Dell software chief John Swainson.
Oh, okay.
And then another Jay Menon. They both expressed great skepticism at the idea. The notion you can achieve some kind of magical state by re-architecting an operating system is laughable on the face of it. They're probably going to be keeping an eye on it, though, let me tell you. But here's the funny part, or at least the part that I thought was pretty funny. Because after the story was published, in other words, the scoffing by Dell, HP got in touch with a statement from its senior vice president of global communications. He said, "I wasn't surprised to hear Dell's head of R&D attack our announcement of the machine," because that's what they're calling this
new the machine OS.
Yeah. Howard Cabo, their global comm guy, wrote, "R&D has never been a priority at Dell and has probably ground to a halt completely since they took themselves private." We can understand his frustration at watching HP innovate while Dell stands still.
I would have said HP innovate while Dell stagnates. Now that would have been a catchy line.
Yeah. Yes. True that. So anyway, but that story, I got a big kick out of that little back and forth because, you know, a lot of times companies.
At work, we're 100% Dell shop, so.
Oh.
I can't really say too much bad about them.
But no, I
their hardware is not the best hardware, but it's decent, it's stable, and it's Linux friendly.
I have got my workstation at home is Dell, and my work laptop, you know, my company is a Dell company, so. Anyway, so that was one of my other little stories. And let's see here and go back to my list. See what else I had here. Oh, yeah, the other thing I had, and we talked a little bit about this, was Tesla. They open sourced their patents, their electric vehicle patents.
Really?
Yeah.
All of them.
Ooh. Yes, they did. And so the whole idea, it's basically a bid, according to Extreme Tech, it's a bid to try to kill gas-powered cars. Which I think is eventually going to happen, but they're hoping to.
Like we were talking in the car on the way here, and like I said, I'm a pragmatist. Whatever is convenient and inexpensive is what I'm going to use, and right now it's not electric. Mm-hmm. So,
but it will be someday. I mean, someday it will be. So, but anyway, just it was quite a. Well, I don't know if it was a surprise, but it was quite an eye opener to see that a company. With a technology that is so new as electric cars and battery operated cars, that type of thing, to just go ahead and release the patents. So I'm going to keep an eye on that. I just thought it was really quite amazing. So anyway, but those are my two new stories.
That's cool. I didn't have time to get anything together.
Okay.
All right, then.
That's okay, Tony. You press the buttons.
That's right.
Press the buttons.
And you edit the show.
You snip out.
You don't have to do anything else, that's buddy, right. As far as I'm concerned.
Well, you help with the distros. You do the distros.
Right.
And I help you with that. So anyway, all right.
All right.
I think we're going on to...
You did the tool tip.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Is it tooltip time?
Yep. Oh.
Tools from the toolbox.
It is tooltip time.
All right. Tooltip time. And this time, the tooltip is not really a tooltip. It's a way of life. Custom Bash RCs. Adding your own custom commands to your Bash RC to make you more productive. Now, you may wonder why your .bashrc and one of the others, and not one of the other startup files. When your login starts bash, it reads the startup files in this order. It reads first Etsy profile, and then it looks for /.bash_profile, then it looks for /.bash_login, and then, last but not least, it looks for /.profile in that order. After the global one, it only uses the first one it finds that exists and is readable. However, when bash is started but is not a login shell, i.e. when starting a terminal from a graphical environment, then the .bashrc is read. So, to avoid confusion, I just put everything in my .bashrc and then add this line to my .bash_profile.
And it's not just one line. I put a comment that says, get the aliases and functions. And then it says, if open bracket dash F tilde slash dot bash RC, which means if there is a bash RC, then source tilde slash dot bash RC. So if there's a bash RC, source it and use it. So
cool. Yeah. So that way, anytime it tries to go to bash profile, yeah, it automatically reads your bash RC.
Correct.
That's cool. Because otherwise, it's not read at all during
A normal login. Like if you go to a terminal and log in from a terminal or log in via SSH, the bash RC is not normally read. No, the bash profile, bash underscore profile is read. And that's why you have to put that in the bash profile. So it then gets the bash RC.
I didn't know that.
So I work for a web hosting company in the monitoring department. I have to respond to quite a few high load alerts, which require me to analyze their traffic. I need to figure out if it's legitimate, a DDoS, a brute force on their back end, comment spam, or whatever. So I have developed a number of scripts to help with this analysis. And for a while, I kept these in a text file and just pasted them in when I needed to run them. However, when there got to be more than just a handful of these, it became slow and awkward. What to do? The answer? Put them into your bash RC as functions. Distributing your .bash RC can be troublesome. If you only have a dozen or so machines you administer, copying it around is workable. If you have more than that, you'd better have some sort of centralized configuration management. At work, we use Puppet. So I had to give my bash RC to our Puppet master and ask him to distribute it, which, you know, he just does with a click. He pastes it in, and then the next time Puppet runs on the individual machines, it sees that my bash RC on Puppet, the Puppet server, is different than my bash RC on the machine, so it replaces it.
Wow.
3,000 machines get my bash RC.
That's cool.
Well, it's a nice way to get that out there.
It is. And like I said, if you have more than a dozen or so machines you administer, you better be run some kind of configuration management.
Yeah, you know that name, Puppet Master, always makes me laugh every time I hear somebody talk about it.
You think of that Metallica, was it?
Metallica? No, I was just in general.
Puppet Master. Now, let's talk about the different ways you can add customizations. You can either make changes directly to your bash RC or make separate file or files, which you then source in your .bash RC. So I know some guys that, and one of the guys at work does it this way, where he makes, like, his functions are in different files, and then he sources them in his bash RC.
Yeah.
I don't know why
that's
he does
how
it
I
that.
Do it also. I have a separate aliases file.
Yeah, he has a couple of them. He has them broken out by what they do. Like, he has his ones for analyzing traffic here, and his ones for this stuff in this one, and this stuff in this one. Just put it in the bash RC.
it's probably easier for him to edit.
I'll get to it in a minute, how I set it off, so.
All right.
And there are two different ways you can add, you can add a custom command with either an alias or a function. An alias is written like this. The word alias, then a space, then the name that you want to use as the alias, and then an equal sign with no space, and either a single quote or a double quote, the command you want to alias with its options that you want to be included with it, and then either another single quote or double quote, depending on what you started it with. If you started it with a double, end it with a double. If you started it with a single, end it with a single. Don't mix and match. It doesn't work out very well.
Right.
And this method is usually only really good for simple command aliases, like this alias that I use, which is alias space LDA equals single quote, cat space slash proc slash load average. And this gives you a really very low resource intensive way of getting the current load average, which I have to frequently use because when a machine's under high load and you log in and it's a, a 4-core machine with a load of 78, it's not going to respond very well, even to W. So.
Wow. Yeah.
It's just a really low resource way of getting the load. And then a function is written by this. The function name, what you want to use as the function, and then open parenthesis, close parenthesis right next to each other. And then you can have this on the same line or on the next line. I put it on the next line is an open brace. And then on the next line below that, your script you want to run in its entirety. And then on its own line at the end of it is the close brace. And that's how you write a function. So it's really great for both single line, simple things and really complex multi-line stuff. And in my show notes, which are on the website, I have pasted in there one
of my... Rub it in. You've already got your show notes up.
I wanted to have them up there before the show.
Yeah, I know.
Because this I'm not going to read. It's way too long.
Yeah.
it's a function I wrote that allows me to detect if someone is attempting to brute force hack the Magento backend. Which Magento is an e-commerce platform, and we specialize in Magento hosting. So a lot of the sites we host use Magento.
So you really want to keep an eye on that.
If I see really high weird traffic, I want to try and then see if maybe they're trying to hack the Magento backend or brute force it. And this script checks for that and will help me. It helps me. It's not always right. You then have to investigate exactly what the calls are further by reading. I have another function that then will show me the first two lines and the last two lines that a certain IP address has in the transfer log, so I can see kind of what that IP is trying to do. That's there, and it shows you how it works with long complicated stuff, which it's not that complicated, but it's quite a bit more complicated than cat proc load C load average, So I personally prefer to use functions even for the simple stuff, because you never know when you're going to want to expand that simple thing that you're currently doing into something longer,
convoluted,
and and if you did it as an alias to begin with, then you're gonna have to convert it to a function. But if you've started with a function, it's way easier to extend it. Because I've extended several of mine many times already, so.
Cool.
That's the way it is. So customize that Bash RC. Get stuff you use on a regular basis that you have written as scripts or whatever into your Bash RC. It just makes your life a whole lot easier when you can just.
Or your ZSH RC.
Yeah.
I'm installing it right now, as a matter of fact.
You know why I always stick with Bash or the default is because I go between a lot of systems.
It's ubiquitous.
Not 3000, but yeah, they all have Bash. And once I get used to using ZSH, or if I, if I write a script that works in ZSH, it's not going to work on my Bash.
Exactly.
So.
And that's why at work, the one guy, he's a really big Z shell guy. He's actually a contributor to Z shell. And he wanted to make Z shell his default shell, and they wouldn't let him do it at work because we have Nexus functions that are part of everybody's thing, and they're in a separate Nexus functions file that is sourced, they're tested and known to work on Bash, but they're not tested or known to work in Z shell. So
Z shell is extremely similar to Bash.
I know. They probably would work. They'd said
almost a drop
work,
in replacement, but
we can't.
Just that you get extra tweaks. I'm thinking of each week sharing a Z shell tip and tweak.
I think that would be really good.
That I can then make fun of? Go for it.
No, I think that's
you gotta give me advance notice so I can tell you what's better in the Bash thing. So.
Yeah, we had that discussion. I still got my ZSH scripting book, which I haven't read any further into yet. But
so, all right. Anyway, that is the tool tip for the week. Customize that Bash RC.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do, whether it's ZSH or Bash. setting it up with some nice custom things for yourself.
Yeah, some tools
is the way
written.
To go.
There's nothing more satisfying than using a tool that you have written.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Even if it only says, hello, world. All right. Oh, hey, speaking of coding and scripts and all that, have you guys heard of CodeAcademy.com?
Yes.
I have started looking at and looking into Python. Would that be a good thing to learn?
It depends on who you talk to.
All right, I'm talking to you.
I have no opinion one way or the other.
Okay.
I know some people that are very anti-Python.
Why is that?
Some people that are very positive Python.
Okay. So it's probably okay then, I guess, if you kind of
yeah, it depends on what you want to do with it. Or.
I know that there are just some things that are written.
It's not a compiled language.
No. Well, I haven't really gotten that far yet. I've just done a few little things with it, but.
It's more of like a scripting type language, so. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. .py.
I would learn PHP.
Oh, I like PHP. Yep. The P and lamp, as I like to think.
That's the right. New P and lamp.
Yeah.
The real P and lamp is Pearl.
Pearl. Yeah. All right.
All right, all right. So we need to move on.
Okay.
I have a link in there for my GPG talk. So that's my security bit. Okay, what's next?
Oh.
Now it's time for Mary's quiz show. Is it alive?
Yes. I had so much fun last episode with Is It Alive? I just thought, you know, I'm gonna do another one today.
All right.
So, and so Is It Alive? Well, whenever I get around to it, I put together a little list of items, and the way it originally went was Linux distros, whether they were alive or dead. And, you know, after a while, you kind of run out of things. And so in order to make it still kind of fun, I started to do different kinds of things based on the same type of premise. So so for this week's, what we're going to do is it a Linux distro or is it been barbecued?
Oh, no.
So what this...
What?
Is it a Linux distro or has it been barbecued? Linux barbecue?
Oh, God.
So I'm going to read you now because Linux barbecue is a way to create your, you know, to compile a distro or to put a distro together. I think it's a little more fun than SUSE Studio, but SUSE Studio is very polished. Linux barbecue is a little more freeform and crazy. Mm. But anyway, so I'm going to read some to you, and I want you to tell me if there's no alive or dead extra credit. This is just, has this been, Matt?
It's so small. How can we read it?
Yeah, that's right. That's what I did.
Even with my glasses on, I can't freaking see anything over there.
I see little black lines.
That's right. That's why I put
black. They look red to me from the angle on that.
I put them very tiny so you guys couldn't see. Okay, the first one is called Neckbeard.
Oh. You know what? I need to ask a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is the question, is it a distro builder?
Is it been barbecued? In other words, Linux bar has it been built by Linux
has
barbecue
it been built
or
by,
not?
Oh, okay. All right.
Neckbeard.
Yes.
I'm going to say yes also.
It is. That is an actual distro that was built by Linux
God
barbecue.
Damn it.
What? You got that right.
No, I effed up my freaking display settings on here and I can't figure out how to put them back.
Well, you reboot.
No, I just did that.
Okay. Toenail.
No.
No.
Correct. Camel toe.
Yes.
Yes.
You guys cheated.
No, we're not going to cheat. You just made it 5 minutes ago.
All right. Yummy.
Yes.
No.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Tony's ahead by one. Earwax.
Yes.
No.
You're tied again. Because it's not.
Oh.
The last one is wifey.
What?
Wifey.
Oh, that's yes.
I'm going to go with yes.
Yes, right.
Well, we're tied to the end.
Yeah, tied at the very end there. So join us next episode or when we do it again for another edition of Is It Alive? Okay.
Yay.
Now we're moving on to...
the...
it's listener feedback time.
And we have...
listener feedback.
Yeah, we got some listener feedback.
Yes, we do, yeah. And I forgot to open it.
Which caused us to create a contest.
That's right. We're not a contest.
Well,
not
a contest. No, a survey.
A survey.
All right, that's true. Okay,
a poll.
Thanks for helping me out
with that.
So
we want everybody in the world to go to our website, smlr.us, and vote. Do you like our new intro, or do you like the old one? Because we got an email, and my email is not working. Okay.
It's from Max, and Max says, please bring back the Leave It to Beaver intro. The new one will just dot, dot, dot. I happen to like the new intro. So my first inclination was to just blow Max off. But we leave stuff up to the listeners a lot. So we have decided to leave it up to you, our illustrious listeners, and we're going to let you vote between now and the next show in this poll that we have on the site, and it'll be linked from this episode's posting.
Yeah, it'll be in this episode's posting, but it's going to be on the homepage also.
Oh,
okay. So you'll see it right on the homepage when you go to it.
All right.
And how many stickers do we have? For the first so many stickers we have.
Yeah, until we run out, we have a bunch of EFF stickers, and we'll send you one.
Yeah.
If you include your address.
Our choice.
What is it, like 15?
Yeah,
15. Not quite. Well.
There's at least 15 there.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
12.
12.
Damn, there wasn't 15.
So the first 12 people that votes... and tells us that you vote, because I don't think our system
no,
will
tell you us. Have to send us an email. So it's basically the, we're going to have the first 12 people that send us an email telling us you voted and telling us which way you voted. Because if we get 12 people that say, yeah, I voted, and then there were only 8 votes.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you'll get a sticker. Now the key question at this point is, how do we get the sticker from us to them? Well, we're gonna employ the services of the United States Postal Service, and we're gonna drop that sticker in an envelope. We're gonna throw a stamp on it, and we're gonna mail it to the address that you give us. So if you don't want
to
give,
we have to make that in the North America continent. How much does? Is it going to cost us too much to mail across overseas?
It might be a buck and a half to mail it. I'll cover it.
All right.
So.
Yeah, most. It's coming.
I'll tell you what, Mary. I'll cover all domestic postage, and you cover all international postage.
That's right.
All right.
How about that?
Sounds good.
Cool. So anyway, so that's between now and our next episode. And by the way, our next episode, I'll be coming in remotely.
Oh, yeah? Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be in Baltimore.
Baltimore,
yes, right.
The Inner Harbor.
No, I'm not going to be at the Inner Harbor. No. I'm going to be further out. I'm going to be in Baltimore proper, but I'm going to be at a mind readers convention.
Well, you've got to go to the Inner Harbor. There's this great place.
My mind reading says, oh, but that's not where my people are.
Well, then your people aren't smart because there is this.
What do you mean? They can read minds.
I don't care.
Okay. No, we'll go down there.
There's this great restaurant. At least there was 24 years ago.
It might still be there.
That had the best soft shell crab ever.
We'll be looking for it.
If you know it, you know where like the aquarium is on this end of the Inner Harbor. It was on the all the way on the other end of the Inner Harbor over here. I mean, you can see the one. You can see one from the other, but it's as far from the aquarium as you can get and still be in the Inner Harbor.
Yeah, Tony.
Yeah.
Matt's waving his arms around. So I'm nearly clipping my nose a couple times there, so I just started waving mine in sympathy. Sympathetic arm waving. Okay.
No, it was longer than 24. 27 years ago it was probably there. It may be gone.
It's probably gone. But anyway, I'm sure there are places to get that kind of food.
Yeah, I've been there. I've been there once. And there was this Italian restaurant that my mom said, you got to go downtown and you walk about 3 blocks north.
Okay.
And it's in the middle of this like neighborhood, but
It was fun down there. All right, we had another email. That was from Welshland, Welsh Lad. And he says that in episode 108, we talked about, or Mary's review talked about time shift, was part of the review in episode 108.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it saved him a heap load of time.
It allowed him to shift it.
Yeah.
He had to shift his time to something productive.
Right. So he says, go to rob-weaver.co.uk and you can check out his post on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. I'm glad that it did. That was kind of like the restore point function.
So, yeah.
Anyway, well, good. I was happy to.
He says he also misses the news from the data center.
Oh, tales from the data center, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe someday.
All right. We'll make some up. No, just kidding. All right.
All right. I think that's all the email we had, right?
Mm. Well, we had a little bit more, actually. Let me, I usually rely on you guys to come up with that.
My mail client's broken at the moment.
Oh, well, okay. I will step in and see what I've got because, and I could be wrong. There was the IPv6 localhost question that came in on the 9th. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, I have that, yeah.
You got that, right?
The IPv6 localhost that came from John.
That's right.
And he said, hey, just a quick correction on your 127 localhost episode. The IPv6 equivalent to 127.0.0.1 is ::1 because in IPv6, if it's a zero octet, or I guess they're not octets in IPv6, whatever they are, right. The groupings are. But if it's zero, you can eliminate it.
Yeah, just by putting colons.
Right. So all the zero octets in a row can be eliminated. So that's
all leading zeros are truncated.
Yeah, you can truncate them. You don't have to, but you can. So ::0 is is the FE80:X address, is a link local address, which is equivalent to the 169.254, which is what I think we said. We said it with the FE80, and that is the equivalent, like that 169 local link is what that one is equivalent to.
Yeah.
Okay. We also had, we had another feedback from somebody talking about when I was talking about Fat Dog Linux and the security and how you log in as root. he had indicated, it may seem that defaulting to root user is a reasonable thing to do in distros such as Fat Dog and Puppy, but it causes many problems. And he went on to say that he gave an example that a friend of his or a member of one of his user groups, he was copying files over from a netbook to a laptop, but he has problems actually using the copied files because they're copied over with the owner of root. And he goes on to tell me that he has spent time helping this person kind of change the ownership of those files to make them usable as a regular user. So he says using root as a default user is also bad security-wise. You end up in the same situation as those who use that other operating system from those folks in Redmond. And this is from Mike out in Hayden Lake, Idaho. But, as I mentioned to him when I responded, I tend to agree with him because I run as a regular user, and if I need to do some root actions, I just open up a terminal, go to, SU, and then, boom, I'm there. But that was the philosophy of these guys, and I know you've got a comment.
No, you should use SU-dash.
SU-dash.
SU-dash instead of just SU.
Uh-huh.
Because that way you get root's path.
And all the environmental variables.
Yeah, all the environment variables.
Yeah, if I'm going to do something really spectacular as root, I think that would be good. For the little things that I do?
Yeah, if you're doing one-liners, but just if you want to go actually into the root shell, it'd be better to pull the full bash.
Yeah,
the
other thing is, that does make sense.
And it starts you in the root home folder instead of
it'll switch your home directory and everything.
Oh, see, I wouldn't like that because usually what happens is I get to a directory and I think, oh, I have to do this as root, And then,
Yeah.
But I understand when that dash would come in very handy.
Do you know what I really, really hate? When you open a config file in Vim, and it lets you open it, and you think you're editing it, and then you go to save it, and you're not effing root.
Yes, I have been there.
Vim has a thing where you just say, save it as root.
What?
Yeah, you told me about it.
What? You know what I hate? We'll have to go back and tells a story.
I have forgotten this.
There's like, and now I can't remember what it is because I'm not a Vim user, but it's like sudo saying like run last. You at the bottom in the commands or something, you can say save as root.
Look at this.
We have to look this episode up because I have forgotten
hey,
it. It was pre-stroke and it got blown away. I'm telling you.
It was a MD-Lug tooltip you gave.
What? Go dig those tooltips.
I still have there. Those tooltips.
Perhaps a reread would be helpful. But anyway, so I just getting
I've
back to what I
forgotten more Linux than you'll ever know.
But anyway, so those were, I think those were the ones that I had.
And there is another one. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
From Robert, who has quite the lengthy feedback. He says he's downloaded several of our episodes MP3s, and the hyphens in the file names really mess up his MP3 player.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Which can't display the name as the file plays. I know how to change it for my personal use under several operating systems. So I don't know if that was a backhanded suggestion that we should eliminate those hyphens or not. But anyway.
maybe put a colon in there instead?
No. It's been a standard I've been using for last
years,
127 episodes.
It's going to stay a standard. We're sorry, Robert.
Although what may be happening is when I'm encoding, the name, the MP3 tag name isn't encoding anymore. So that may be the problem. So I will make it a point to go through and fix the tags before I post the show.
Okay.
Oh,
and I think that's what the problem is.
And he also says he remembers the 80-column Hollerith punch cards. Going back to that one where we were discussing the 80-column, and I thought it was from the original terminals, but you found out that it goes all the way back to the punch cards.
And you know what's funny is I've had like three other people walk up to me and says, I remember punch cards too.
I've never used them. I just knew the answer.
Is what your reply is.
Right. Right.
That's right. I remember you used that stuff as confetti, the little chads.
So, yeah, he continues to use I cannot understand what something from Mike. Oh, a Microsoft Windows for Workgroups 3.11 notebook. Ooh. He still runs.
Wow.
No way.
That's pretty impressive.
So yeah.
That's impressive.
He talks about then looking at his copies of SSL certs in Firefox and various other browsers because of our Heartbleed comments. And, the problem of extra information in the buffer has been around for a long time and several different things. And he says, thanks for the show. Some of the information has been helpful, and I probably will listen to more shows from time to time.
Good. Well, so, thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
So I've got, when you guys are done with the real feedback, I have, from time to time, you know, the spam that we get. Yes.
But we do have one more thing, I think. Should mention.
Are you going to comment on the episode?
It's not a comment on the episode. It was Guillaume.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Long time friend of the show.
That's right.
He Guillaume
donated
cool to us.
He did. He clicked our donate button and sent us some cash. So
that's good because we'll use it for some show-related things.
If enough people call in and bitch about our microphones, maybe we'll get new ones.
We'll make sure that we don't use it for Matt's beer. But that's good. I mean, that'll go in our little pot for show gear.
Yeah.
So
that's
anyway,
right.
Guillaume,
We just went through a major upgrade, so we don't currently need anything that we're aware of. So.
Tony looks a little stricken.
Well, a major upgrade we did?
Yeah, all the soundboards.
Oh, no. Yeah, that wasn't just.
That was
almost a year ago.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. We just got that mixer and stuff like two or three episodes ago, I thought.
No.
No, it was last summer, last fall sometime.
You're in a parallel universe, man.
Nah, it was pre-stroke.
Actually, it wasn't, but...
All right, anyway.
Hey, I found a... I put it in IRC, the... when you're in Vim, how to save it as sudo. It's colon W space exclamation sudo space T percent.
Oh.
And that'll save it as sudo.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Excellent.
And that was... What that when, was from...
When did I give that tool to?
command line...
A long time ago.
Basics? No.
Command line basics?
No, command line tips and tricks. That was up, or that was April of 2011.
Wow.
It's like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Although I did see a bumper sticker that I love.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah?
It says, colon W saves.
Oh, yeah, that is cool.
I posted it on G+ and I said, if you get this, you're using the right editor.
I like Nano. But before I
no
started using...
No context highlighting.
But before I started using Nano, I used Vi.
No context highlighting, no reusable buffer between
oh,
freaking...
Oh, look what I started.
There is context highlighting.
Yeah.
It's less based. So oh, yeah. If you turn it on for less,
no,
then
no
you'll
see... No proper context highlighting.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It works. Gonna... You want to see?
No.
Oh, he
no,
doesn't want to see
you know
because
I'm right.
Yeah, exactly. That'll
you can't. You don't. You can't use the same buffer between instances of Nano. You can't move stuff from one version, one instance of Nano to another instance of Nano in the buffer.
Tony, can you?
You're probably right with it. I don't know. I ran
right.
into that issue.
Here's the thing. Nano is great for quick and dirty editing. I like it. Vi, I like Vim and Vi because I like the insert mode versus the command, was it command mode or whatever, so that you don't accidentally wreck something. You know, there's both have got their places. Let's just end it on that. How about that, fellas?
All right.
Hey, now we're done with the listener feedback and our
yes,
little hats
I
off to Guillaume.
So.
Okay, well, you know, we get spam and every once in a while there's one that just kind of catches my eye. And this subject line, kind of caught my eye. It's called laser hair growth helmet reviews.
What?
Laser hair growth helmet reviews. That was it. It just, I
all
laughed
right.
when I saw it. So anyway, and that's it.
Actually, we have a comment, and I just clicked away from it. It
one
was.
More?
It was about 126.
Mm.
Oh, now I need to get back to it.
Where all right. Well,
comments.
Matt, you and
I'm
I
almost
will
there.
Engage in witty repartee.
It's from Nicholas Venway.
Oh, he used the last name.
It was all in. This is public.
Anybody
can see it. That's why.
So
I
if
used
he publicly
it.
Used his last name, we're feel free to do so.
That's also. Right. He says he's currently listening to 126, which was our Penguin Repies, and I heard something disturbing. You make comments about a guy who uses Gentoo for their server distribution at work. Well, let me tell you, I do as well. Gentoo is by far the best distribution I've ever used for personal and corporate workstations and servers.
That's and because you just have too much time on your hands.
He goes on to say that... if you have this, or he says, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and assume that you haven't used or reviewed Gentoo recently.
We haven't.
And your comments are based on ignorance.
You, yes.
You really need to review it.
No, I don't.
And he says, take a look at Slackware and Arch also.
Not for servers. Great for your desktop. If that's one you want on your desktop, not a server environment. He's just wrong.
I thought Slackware is pretty good for...
Slackware is probably okay, yeah.
That was my first server.
Arch server?
Arch. When it,
he's already
when it comes
tracking.
To when it comes to maintaining that stuff, though, it's just too hard to do on a large-scale server environment. It just is.
All right.
Well, Puppet works with both, right? With all those?
I can't hear you.
Anyway, so that was
right,
that was
our,
on
we went
two
from
episodes
no
ago.
Listener feedback.
I know
episode of
it,
all,
it happens
the
all
bunch.
The time. We do one episode with no listener feedback, and then the next episode we get a ton of it because
Matt said something.
I don't know. usually that's the case.
Just kidding, you, Matt. All right, so I guess we're on to
featured music of the week.
The music for this week?
Yeah.
Which I don't have any music.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It's going to be a roll of the dice. He's going to YouTube. Careful.
No, no.
It's going to be a roll of the dice.
These eyes are crying. Please, no.
They are crying, man. I tell you, I'm sitting too close. Okay, well, had I known, I would have sent something your way. Because usually when that happens, I know I stand a greater chance of my choice getting accepted. So the Balkan accordion music song will fly.
What about this song?
To the place where it all began, a house in Japan, but this time I got a plan. Got an arsenal of friends all over the globe, a new set of skills in my frontal lobe. I got a view of the world that makes me wanna sing, from Boston to Beijing and all that's in between. Got a heart full of love from the path I'm walking. Just give me the mic and I'ma keep on rocking. Four long years now went by in a flash, years filled with tears and hurting for cash. Days full of music and nights filled with song, while taking a couple of hits off a trusty. Scooping it, fortunate, talking about tomorrow, learning to share and not afraid to borrow. We're learning now that we're on the other side, there's nothing to fear here on the outside. If I have anything to offer, it would be the words of my mother. So the last time I told you I was living in a mist, but now I'm living in the present. Look at my list. Coming in at number one is an open heart and an open mind, but that's only the start. Your number two is for you and for everyone here. So let go of the fear and won't you lend me your ear? Cause having an interaction that turns into connection doesn't always have to lead to some form of fornication. Number three is for me, staring at my reflection, trying to see who I am through my own deceptions. Leo, my man, is this a dream or inception? Turning aspirations into tangible creations. Meaning song, meaning groove, meaning love. Oh, I'm making you move. If I have anything to offer, it would be the words of my mother. Here and now we can fantasize of the possibility to harmonize, to free ourselves from all the lies that always have the tendency to generalize. We've been taught to internalize all our dreams that could mesmerize. I see a different people who don't realize that every day of life, if I have anything to offer, it would be to love one another. Just be in love. Just be in love. Don't be waiting on the clearer skies. Don't be waiting on the rain to pass you by.
I think you have to tell your wife you need a new computer.
Right, that's what I need for Father's Day. Yeah. I was accepted into a
really expensive one, and then you might be able to get like a $500 one.
Well, the problem is we're buying a house, so I'm the one saying no. We need to save money, and the other thing is that I was accepted into the EMU master's program.
for IA, and I finally got the word back. So I don't know if I'm going to have to get a new laptop for that, or if they have certain tools I'm going to have to use for them that are of the Redmond type.
IA?
I don't know. Yeah, what's it's IA? Information assurance.
Okay.
At where?
Eastern Michigan University.
EMU.
Yes, they're right now. They're only about a 20-minute drive from here.
Yeah, it's not much further from Livonia.
From Livonia, yeah, probably M14.
Yeah, you take to 23. Good on, take 96 to 14.
Yeah, which 96 is closed at the moment, but
yeah, but it will be open.
October will be
in
open.
In October. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, good.
All right.
Are all the classes evening classes? So it won't.
Yeah, evening and weekend. There's actually one this fall that's
and EMU also has a campus in Livonia.
Oh, they do?
So maybe you can, I don't know if any of the classes
depending
are offered
on what,
there.
Yeah, but what's available. Yeah, I'll have to look at.
Okay.
Because a friend of mine got her master's in education administration, and she went to the EMU campus in Livonia.
Oh, all right.
And when I say campus, I mean like the fifth floor of a building.
Right.
Urban campus.
All right, we got to get going. Actually,
yes,
we were supposed to finish early today, and I forgot about that.
Okay.
All right, so you've been listening to the Sunday Morning Linux Review. This is Tony Bemis.
Matt Enders.
Mary Tomich.
And I forgot to do the episode name, so we'll do it right now.
Okay.
128.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
What it was?
Yeah,
okay. It was. So, hey, see you in a fortnight. Have a good fortnight.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Gay Wisher Honky Magoo 5150 and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
Linux Luddites is a show where we try out all the latest free and open source software and then decide we like the old stuff better.
More than just news and releases, we check out a wide range of Linux distros, cover your feedback, talk about obscure command line programs, discuss burning issues over a pint, and much, much more. So join me, Paddy,
and me, Joe, every 2 weeks for news, reviews, comment, and generally being grumpy at linuxluddites.com.
Linux Luddites, because not all change is progress.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night interactive live show. Visit lhspodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your minds.